All right. How's everyone doing? All right. I see you guys back there. That's all right. Well, hang on because we're going to talk about something real important today. We've been talking about something important, but we're going to continue our series in Love is Living in Peace with Others. We've talked about peacemaking. We've talked about forgiveness. Today, we're really going to dive in to see what forgiveness is really all about. And how do we do it? How do we really get to that place of dropping the case, oftentimes against ourselves and against others? You know, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a redeemer to forgive us. So the greatest need of man and woman is to be forgiven and to forgive. And we're going to look at why is that so important. Therefore, it is the greatest miracle any of us can do. In Matthew 9, starting with verse 1, we have an incident that Jesus comes across with a paralyzed man. And it said this, Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. So he traveled across the lake a number of times, Galilee, to different towns. And so he did this, and he was coming back to where he had left from, and something happens. It says, some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, okay, so these guys believed Jesus could heal them. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven. It's not why he came. But some of the teachers of the law, of the religious law, said to themselves, that's blasphemy. Does he think he's God? Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen. And they praised God for giving humans such authority. They didn't believe at this point that he was God, but they saw a human forgive. And something happened to them that a human can forgive a sin. So from Jesus' perspective, forgiving sin is a greater miracle than healing a paralytic. And they praised God that this man, Jesus, had the authority to heal both the man's inner being and his outer flesh. For you people who want to see miracles in our day and age, practice forgiveness. It is the greatest miracle that you and I have been called to do on this earth. God might heal some people physically, even heal them through you, but he will always enable the miracle of forgiveness. Why? Because we are called peacemakers. The thing this world desperately needs. And what Jesus said about us is that we are peacemakers. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Why? Because that's what God does. It is one of the image-bearing qualities we all carry if we belong to the Lord. We are peacemakers. What's a peacemaker? Well, the goal of a peacemaker is to end hostility between two parties. And if possible, restore the relationship. And that's what Jesus did. God and me are now at peace. There's no war between us. He also makes me a peacemaker inside of myself. I don't have to be at war with myself anymore. And he makes us capable to be at peace with others. Even if they want a war against us, I don't have to participate. Why is this peace so important? Well, because in this world, we will experience conflict, hurt, trouble, interpersonal wars, personally and collectively. It is one thing to say that we forgive someone. That is not a miracle to say it. The miracle is actually doing it from our heart. In Matthew 18:35, Jesus says this, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." Two things. In the context of the message, Jesus said, you have a debt. If someone owes you a debt that they can't repay. See, I can't repay my debt to God. And he forgives me of it. He drops the case. He cancels the debt. He canceled it by paying for it. He says, if you who couldn't pay back your debt can't forgive someone else whom can't pay you back for what they did, then I refuse to forgive you. I will continue to tell you, pay it back. Then pay me back. If you want to be paid back for every wound you've ever had, then pay me back for all the wounds you did to me in breaking our relationship and not doing what I've asked. He says, but this is how you forgive. You have to do it from your heart. What does that mean? One thing to say it in my mind, I forgive you, but my heart is where the seat of my emotions are. It is where my soul is. It is the place that accumulates wounds. The wounds of hurt, the wounds of being hurt by others. And that cumulative effect grows over the years. And if I do not forgive from that place, it will affect and boil over into all my relationships. I will bleed on everyone and everything in my life. So forgiveness must come from the emotional core of our being. So I have a question for you guys to kind of explain this a little better for you. How many of you like being lied to? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you like being lied to. Look around and see all the hands that are not raised. Nobody likes being lied to. Let me ask you another question. How many of you have lied about their feelings or your feelings following sad, hurtful, or painful events? How many of you lied about your feelings about that? Raise your hand. Everybody has. Everybody's lied about that. And that is our problem. We have all been taught to lie about our feelings for fear of being judged, criticized, or maybe even appearing weak and needy. The danger of saying, I am fine, is a mental cognitive thought. But my feelings say I'm hurt. So what I begin to do when I'm from a little kid, I begin to lie inside of me, which causes separation in my being. That, anybody ever say this? That didn't hurt me. When it hurt you bad. I'm lying. That does not affect me. I'll tell you what, I can't tell you how many people I've counseled that say, this thing happened in my life, traumatic thing happened, but it didn't affect me. I'm lying. I'm deceiving myself. I'm saying one thing from my mind. See, that's called cognitive. It's coming from my mind, but it's not in touch with my feeling. And so I lie to myself, and then I lie to others. But the problem is, people begin to see through that. You say it doesn't bother you, but it affects everybody else around you. That guy hurt me, but it doesn't affect me until you meet the next guy. Then he's going to pay a price for that. See, when I say that doesn't affect me, all that does is merely distract me while pain, fear, and loneliness accumulate inside me. The net effect of that over a period of time, wound after wound after wound that takes place in our life. That's why we need to be peacemakers. That grows inside of me. The net effect of that is that a scab over my soul, my heart takes place. But underneath the scab, I'm a freaking mess. Because I have so many unresolved hurts. And over time, life becomes something to endure. And I lose aliveness. And I start just enduring life. So now I gotta find something to help me endure. And that's what addiction is all about. That's what trying to find your happiness in a person, people, places, and things. I'm trying to endure. I remember when I drove the beer truck, I hated it so much, I couldn't get high enough to force myself to do it. But I had all this wounding inside of me that I couldn't move forward. It keeps you stuck. When you're wounded, you don't move well. I am fine. When you're not fine, you're a disjointed person. None of us can relate to that, but you might have a friend that you should tell them, you know what, you need to hear this. Then what happens? What happens when this takes place? The world becomes a hostile place to live in. Life is not working the way we hoped it would. We become resentful. It's under the scab, and I become bitter, disillusioned, discontented. Joy seems to be a real fleeting thing in my life. I am looking for escape. I am robbed of my aliveness. So what do? We put on our Academy Award faces. Looking okay on the outside, shriveling up on the inside. We should get Academy Awards because we become great actors. I received this award of fakeness. I have worked very hard to present something I'm not. I don't care. It's all okay when nothing's okay and I'm not. I'm not doing well. Unresolved relationship wounds consume tremendous energy in ourselves. It takes a lot of energy to act like I'm okay when I'm not okay. And then I ruminate these unresolved wounds, which accumulate. And they accumulate negatively in my life, draining my energy. It takes a lot of energy to hide. We become fractured. And one of the beautiful things about God is He knows we're fractured. We're fractured from Him. That's why He sent Jesus to forgive us. And then from His heart, He forgives us. From His emotional being, not just a mental assent to, I forgive them. I've had people enshrine I counseled a lot of people. And we have a tendency to do this with people when we're fractured. We either enshrine them. Oh, my dad, he was the greatest. He was the best there was. Tell me, what did he do in your life? Well, he wasn't there very much, but he was a very great man. And we minimize the feelings of pain and stuff, and we maximize, and we enshrine them. Or some of us tend to demonize them. We can't see anything good about them. They're a piece of dirt. So the person you were with is a piece of dirt. Did you know that when you started going out with them? What good qualities did they have? We tend to boomerang back. Some people are amazing. I've had people come up to me and say, Joe, you're amazing. I go, you don't even know me. You've already enshrined me. And you know what? Once you put me on that pedestal, the only place I can go is down. That's forgiveness right there. We become fractured. Acting like I'm okay when I'm not. It takes a lot of energy to peace fake with others. Oh no, we're good. I just can't stand being around them. That's how you know you're peace faking. Oh, I forgive them, but I never want to see them again. And some people you can't see again. They are dangerous. It takes a lot of energy to maintain lying to myself. That I'm okay when I'm not okay. How many know that? When you lie, you have to keep remembering the story. I have to keep remembering the story. So, as an example, how this works in our lives, how many times have you been driving down the road in your car and suddenly realize for the last number of miles, you were not even aware you were driving? You have been having a conversation in your head with yourself about someone who hurt you. Or maybe reliving a conversation with someone who hurt you and thinking of all the things you should have said. Or reliving a conversation and getting ready to come back and now I'm well equipped to fire back. See, those conversations represent unfinished emotional business between you and someone else, living or dead. You have emotional unfinished business that your head's telling you, you're okay, we're good, I'm done, this and that, and you're all stirred up in your heart. This consumes tremendous energy. That's why we're tired a lot. See, it's one thing to be physically tired. I worked out real hard. The day was super long. We were busy. And good sleep will fix me. When I have sleep and I wake up and I'm worn out still, and I do life worn out emotionally, I've got tons of unfinished business going on. And the energy I'm using on... See, we only have so much energy. Your energy is quantifiable. It is a thing. I can either spend it in healthy endeavors or I spend it in unhealthy endeavors. God's desire for us is to use our energy well. How are we using it? I have to continually reinforce bitterness and resentment. Replaying the offense. How many of us have played the offense a million times, but it doesn't bother you? But I've replayed it a gazillion times, but it doesn't bother me. And it doesn't affect anyone else. How many of us have been in our head and someone asked us something? Go, what? God, leave me alone. I've got massive conversations going on in here. And then we lie not only to ourselves, we lie to others and say, it doesn't affect me. I'm good. I just can't drink enough coffee. So what do? We replay the offense over and over, reopening the scab, pulling out the feelings, and then lying to ourselves in our mind, it doesn't affect me. Dredging a deeper hole in our heart. You ever pick at a wound? You meth people know what I'm talking about. It doesn't fix it. In fact, it's a dead giveaway. Same thing emotionally speaking. We think picking the scab off is healing it. It's just creating more wounding. We have to keep nursing it. We have to keep replaying it. See, that's why it's Academy Award living. To be able to try to pull that off, man, you are just peace faking to the max. And the truth is, we find ourselves lonely because it's hard to be around people when I've been wounded by people and I'm unresolved in these things. And I shared it with you guys last week. That's what addiction's all about. Whether it's pornography, whether it's any type of addiction, it's an intimate relationship with a thing. Because people are too painful. And then this thing becomes a bondage to me. And I haven't dealt with any of that. I am super screwed. It takes more and more to get less and less relief. If you are locked in war with someone over a hurt, you have less available energy for your life now. Unforgiveness is another word for war making. See, in order to be a peacemaker, that's opposite of war making, but in order to be at war, you have to do something. You have to maintain the war. You have to maintain it. It takes a heavy toll on us. It requires a lot of mental energy, energy that can't be used for other productive things. That's why we say so many times, I want to do this, but I just got no energy. I'd like to do that thing, but I just can't. What I have now is just taking me down so much. This is the truth, my friends. We all only have 24 hours a day. We all only ever have that. What you use your energy in those 24 hours is what you use your energy in those 24 hours. And if it's tremendous amount to the negative, I have very little for the positive. When you won't forgive someone, it negatively affects your family and friends. Because war making spills into every relationship we have. That is why so many of us have superficial, short-term relationships. Because when they're hurt, they get bitter, go to war, and move on. And the consequences of living in unforgiveness is a life of resentment and ultimate isolation. Others who do stay in relationships simply dig trenches and continually fire wounding ammo at each other. In relationship wars, we give and receive wounds. And those wounds look like this. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:30, "Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live." See, God's Holy Spirit is sorrowful about that. God loves his kids so much, he doesn't want us saved and going to heaven and living a mess on earth. He wants us healed in every way. He says, remember, he has identified you as his own, just like Brian was saying, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. That's part of it. So what do we do in the meantime? Get rid of all bitterness. That's an attitude. That's a feeling. So a lot of times we call our thinking feelings. Your thinking is not, I'm not worth anything. That's not a feeling, that's a thought. And if I believe that thought, it will cause feelings. But it's a thought. If I believe I'm a child of God and God has a plan and a purpose for me, I start to feel different. If I really believe that, then I start to come in alignment. When my feelings and my thinking come into alignment, I start to become not fractured, but whole. I move from being fractured into wholeness. God's desire is to make us whole and complete and not lacking in anything. That's why so many of us in recovery only recover for little periods of time, because then we have to, once we get over recovery, we think that's all there is to it. Oh, I'm not using it anymore. Now I got to deal with all these fellas. And it's too, I don't know how to deal with it. He says, listen, get rid of all bitterness. That's an attitude. Rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Those are violent, willful actions. Rage, anger, harsh words, slander, beating that person up to everyone. I don't care nothing about them, but I talk about them all the time. You're not even honest with yourself. Instead, so those are willful actions with an attitude. Instead, what? Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's all attitude. An attitude has to do with feelings. Just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you, his attitude toward you is forgiveness. His actions toward you are forgiveness. He is kind to you. In fact, Scripture tells us in Romans that it is his kindness that leads us to repentance, leads us to change. God beating me down, because some of us had this idea of Christianity, we might even have it now, that God wants to just beat you down into submission. That never worked before. That never worked. When I recognized it was God's kindness towards me, he's kind toward me. I started to feel like he wants the best for me. He wants to help me. That's why forgiveness is such a big deal. When I don't think forgiving is helpful to me, I won't forgive. In fact, I've read books where therapist says you don't need to forgive people to be healthy. I absolutely disagree with that. You may not be able to be reconciled, which is a different deal, but we have to forgive because it changes us. It puts me into alignment. When I can say I hate that person, why? Because they did these things. Now I'm in alignment. Now I can choose what I want to do with it. When I say I am deeply wounded by this person, but it didn't do anything to me, I am lying to myself. And therefore, I am messed up, because fractured people don't operate well. Take your arm out, fracture it, see how well it operates. And the emotional being is the same. We use our energy best when we are present and working in harmony with my body, soul, and spirit. You know, so I've met a number of people that don't treat their body really well with food. And they go, well, it's comfort food to me. Well, I said, well, why don't you figure out what you need comfort in? That would probably help you. What is the comfort you're looking for? What are you trying to do? Because that's a distraction. I drink because you don't know what my childhood was like. Well, let's talk about it. It didn't affect me. It's not that big a deal. I don't want to rehash. I don't want to rehash my past. What do you mean? You're lying to yourself. You rehash it all the time. You're constantly rehashing it. It's the most jacked up hash I've ever seen. Why don't we rehash and get rid of it? Is that hitting home with anybody here? Anybody out there? Good, because I thought it was just for me. It's like, whoa, this is... So, know this. Peace and war cannot simultaneously reside in the same space. So if I'm at war in my feelings, I'm not at peace with my feelings. They can't reside together. I cannot say I'm at peace in my mind when I'm at war in my feelings. So the first thing I need to do is quit lying to myself. So I've done this demonstration before, and it's good for some of you. It'll be a reminder. For others of you, it'll be mind-blowing. But either way, it's good for us to understand, to see it in a demonstration. So here is how we become peacemakers. One, the first thing you need to know, it is essential that I decide I want to be at peace. I want to be at peace. It's one of the first things an addict has to come to. I want to be at peace. I want to stop warring with myself. Well, then stop doing the thing that causes you war. Yeah, but if I stop that, then I have to deal with all the other things that war with me. Exactly. So we can get at peace with them. Listen, those I don't forgive, I carry with me in my life. I carry them with me. Maintaining the war. Okay, we're going to show you something here. Brian, if you can help me, that'd be great. Grab this. Yeah. Oh, you want to grab that? And I'll take this. Okay.
Whatever you want.
Okay, right there. This represents God. This represents Jesus, crown of thorns. So we got that. This backpack, if I don't forgive people, I carry them with me. So I can carry them like this and pretend like nobody sees them. All the people that I'm carrying and forgiving. No, I don't carry. But see, a heavy backpack accumulating over years of hurt is heavy. It slows me down. Others of us, we don't carry a backpack. We carry a front pack. And we bash it into everybody. We turn this way and hit them. And this backpack holds something. It holds the potatoes of unforgiveness that we have towards others. Now, Nursing unforgiveness. So how do I nurse unforgiveness, first of all? Well, every now and then I take my backpack off and I pull out the potato of unforgiveness. Oh, I remember. Oh, God, I remember. This is a horrible thing. They did horrible to me. It's brutal. Oh. Again. And I maintain the war and I nurse the unforgiveness, and it requires energy, mental energy. Then something happened. The wound that was once fresh begins to rot. Ooh, it's got little gnarlies on it. Ooh, and it's starting to stink. And I look at it, because this one, I've carried this one since I was a kid. And it's growing, and it's affecting everything else, and it stinks, and it stains me, and it stains others, and people come around and go, you smell. You got a smell about you. That smell comes out of your mouth in bitterness and harshness and anger and rage and slander. This thing is coming out of you. Ooh, man, you ever been around somebody and you go, man, they are just negative. And in fact, you see them coming, and I've done this. Is that, oh, oh God! And you move to the other way. I've done that myself in church. Where they almost, you ever feel like you're trapped, like they almost got you against the wall? And this is what's going on in my life. And this is what's happening to me. And they're pouring out their wound. And I'm okay, though. And yet you're looking for ways out. I've actually said this. Therese, if you see that person talk to me more than 5 minutes after church, save me. Come and get me. Because why? We rehearse the same topic over and over and over again. You know, in counseling, I always give people homework to do. I'll stay with them a couple times, see what their story is, see what's going on, and then I give them some homework to do. And if they don't do the homework, then I, after a couple times of not doing any of the homework, I say, hey, here's what we need to do. You got issues. I'm giving you something to do. When you do it, come back. Because that way, we're making progress. So here's how we deal with wounds. Healing begins with forgiveness, because the forgiveness of Christ is a source of our healing with God. And our forgiveness of others is the means of sustaining our healing. So as I take out the potato one by one, because each potato represents somebody or something. That's why I tell people, keep your backpack light. But oftentimes they haven't dealt with years of stuff. And we take them through a steps to freedom and we start to deal with the people. Mom and dad are usually at the top of the list. And then ultimately it goes to themselves, because you know what? Many of us hold great resentment against ourselves. All the woulda, couldas we should have done. So in order to truly forgive, I must first do this. And Tim, if you can put it up. One, I must acknowledge. If you're taking notes, take notes. If not, go home, watch it again, and write these things down so that you can really start the process of forgiveness. I must acknowledge the hurt, the pain, and the wrong, or else it is peace faking. The cup of our emotional pain has to be poured out. I hate them because of what they've done to me. I hate them because this is what's going on. This is what it made me feel like. This is what it did to my life. See, the thing that someone does to us has a lot of strings attached, and it's those strings that kill us. I hate this because I hate them because they made me feel so shameful. So inadequate, less than. They took my self-worth and crushed it. They embarrassed me in front of all my friends. So the cup has to be poured out. Allow God to bring to the surface the painful memories and acknowledge how you feel with those. Then secondly, forgiving is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. I will live with them anyway. You're living with them now. I forgive my dad for not being there with me, and it caused me to guess how to be a man. It caused me to, and I've been guessing to do that all the time. But now I accept that. That's what it did to me. So God, now help me. Third one is forgiveness is choosing not to hold on to someone's sin against them any longer. I don't want to hold on to this any longer. This takes way too much energy and space in me. So what do I do with it? Well, it tells us this. Bear with each other in Colossians 3:13 and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive each other, whatever the grievance. These are all my grievances. I drop the case. Why? Because once I drop the grievance, now I can start to take responsibility. I can start to parent me. Forgiveness, number four, does not necessarily involve reconciliation, though that is generally the desire. According to the scripture, full reconciliation is the ideal in human relationships. But reconciliation requires two people. They might be dead. It might have been so long ago, or short, they died. I can't reconcile. They may be dangerous. God never called us to be a doormat. You beat me a bunch of times. I forgive you so you can be. I don't let them manipulate me. Sometimes I have to set strong boundaries. And maybe those boundaries are I never see that person again, but I'm not going to carry this. Fifth one is we are hurt often. We need to be diligent forgivers. So after I acknowledge what they've done, I acknowledge how it affected my life, my feelings, how it changed the way I looked at life, then I give it to God. And I say, God, you deal with them. That's what scripture says. He says, don't judge. I'll judge them. He can do it fairly. Just like I want God to judge me fairly. Don't you want God to judge you fairly? Not just on the act. Well, God, you know why I did it. You know my background. You know all the things. Yeah, he knows it all about everybody. So that's why we do it. So we take out that person. We take out the next one. This is just the driver the other day on 22 freeway. All right, God, I forgive him. He didn't really affect me. He just pissed me off. But other than that, okay, I'll get rid of that. So we'll have little ones. We'll have big ones. We'll have some gigantic ones that really have affected our lives. And what begins to happen when we do that, we get lighter. And now I have energy. The beginning of gaining energy, because sometimes I have to forgive a number of times because I'm so used to bringing them up, or something will trigger me to that feeling and I'll have to, oh yeah, I forgive them. I forgive them again. God, heal me. Then we ask God to start the healing process. Take this scab and pull it off and start now to clean out the pus. And start to stitch it up so that instead of walking around with multiple wounds, bleeding and pus filled and carrying on my life all this stuff, I begin to develop scars because the healing starts to take place. And you know what? A scar doesn't hurt anymore. It's an indicator of a wound that was, and God makes us overcomers. We begin to overcome our wounds. Forgiveness opens the way for healing of the war wounds we all receive living in this world. And when placed in God's bucket, he will deal with them fairly. So one by one, incident by incident, it becomes now a choice to forgive and then to hold on to that choice as many times as I need to. We must acknowledge the hurt, the hate, the pain, the consequences of that action in my life, and choose to drop the case and trust God to deal with them. Then ask God to deal with my damage or heal my damaged emotions, my heart. And then you know what? Something begins to happen. He receives the potato and gives me in its place a healing balm. Instead of potatoes, I get some trail mix. I get a little bit of joy to put in the backpack now. I get some healing, some cooling water, living water. I get some stuff that I carry that actually is a blessing to me. And now as I am healed, I become the source. That's why it's the greatest miracle. I become a source to help others get healed from their wounds. I show them that it is possible to be deeply wounded and yet recover. And it doesn't magically happen. You have to do to get the get. And that's how it works. So I want to share one person I did a forgiveness with. And some of you have heard it before. When I was young, I was molested by a priest. And his name was, I call him Father B. And I'll give you a little background of him. And according to the OC Weekly in October 27th edition in 2005, an article describing how the Archdiocese of Los Angeles hid bad priests in Orange County. They'd move them from L.A. to Orange County to hide them. I quote the article. The October 11th, 2005 release by the Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles records on 176 suspected child raping priests, adds new evidence that church officials played hide the pedophile for decades. The documents provide graphic proof that Orange County Catholic Church officials accepted, tolerated, and sometimes conspired to hide known pedophiles before and after OC split to form its own diocese in 1976. Here are the worst LA OC cases. The priest that molested me was number one on that case. He headed up that list. So I needed to forgive him and forgive the church in general too. So I want to walk through you what the forgiveness looked like so it gives you a little bit of a template of something you can do in your world. But know this, God wants to heal you and healing is possible and it is real. So I wrote it out and I said, Lord, I forgive Father B for molesting me. And how that messed with my mind and my heart. I forgive him for taking advantage of an emotionally needy child who was seeking male affection and time. I forgive him for making me think he cared for me and making me feel like I was special when he was setting me up as a tool for his own perverse pleasure. I forgive him for robbing me of my innocence. I forgive him for abusing his position of religious authority to fool my family so he could have access. I forgive him for misrepresenting Jesus to me as a condoner of hurt and misrepresenting Jesus as a weakling with no power to stop evil or his people. I forgive him for turning me away from Jesus and his church and his ways. I forgive him for making me think all Christians are fake hypocrites. I forgive him for confusing me about my own sexuality and for filling me with unbearable shame and such guilt. And especially the suffocating fear of anyone finding out. I forgive him for confusing me about God, for blurring good and evil and right and wrong, and making me feel so much less than that and not good enough and that something was seriously wrong with me for this to happen. I forgive him for making me feel so incredibly dirty and sick, and establishing a long inner struggle of low self-worth, of feeling so much less than others. I forgive him for making me carry a secret that crushed my spirit and fragmented my mind. I forgive him for being a prime motivator of my distrust of, and rebellion against authority of all kinds. I forgive him for causing such a deep wound in my life that I was easy prey for the anesthetizing and pain-reducing lure of drugs and alcohol. I forgive him, though he never ever said sorry and blamed me. I prayed then after I went through this, probably a few other things. I said, Lord, I forgive him and surrender revenge, because I wanted revenge, and resentment, and I give up my right to hurt him for hurting me. And I leave him up to you to judge. And I pray you help him. Now I ask, God, that you please heal these damaged emotions. Free me from the bondage of bitterness and revenge. And Jesus, now that I forgive him, I choose to take responsibility for my life. I choose to not blame him anymore for my actions. And in your name, I pray this. I pray, God, that you would heal my damaged mind, my wounded soul. So once forgiveness is offered and our heart wounds are exposed, and we pour out the cup of our grief and pain, right there in our hearts becomes a free space. That space is emptied. And now healing can start to be poured in. And God begins to heal the hurt and pain and frees me up to start doing things different in my life. And that secret that I held no longer represents me. It's part of the story of my life. It isn't my identity. Wounds go deep, but God's healing goes deeper, and it changes our hearts. In Ezekiel 11:19, I know we're running late, give me two more minutes. Ezekiel 11:19 says this, I will give them an undivided heart. I will give them, they will become whole. Not perfect. They will operate. They will be in touch with their feelings. You just asked me what I feel. I had no idea what I felt. I could tell you what I think. I couldn't tell you what I feel. I feel angry. I can identify with that one. Sad and disillusioned. I don't know what those feelings were. And he says, I will give them an undivided heart and I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone, that heart that gets calloused. I get so used to feeling pain. You can't hurt me no more. Can't hurt me no more. And he says, I'll remove that and give you a flesh heart, soft again. And then that heart, see, that's the change that takes place. He begins to change our heart. And then you know what we tend to do? We start to get soft towards others. And you know what we tend to do? We get soft towards ourselves. We begin to realize that everybody's on their journey and everybody's a walking wounded. And that there is a way out. There is a way to be healed. Doesn't mean we won't be triggered, but I don't have to be who I was. The healed wound now becomes a means to deliver. He says, I'll remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. See, God is the great healer. And I stand before you today as a testimony to that fact. What he has done for me, he has done for countless others. In the world, I am nobody. But to God, I'm his precious child. And what he has done for me, he will do for you. What were once deep wounds become scars, indicators of past hurt. No longer having the power to affect my emotions in such negativity. It becomes an indicator of a wound, like a scar is. A wound once suffered but overcome. And that enables me to help someone else who is still bleeding. And help them to know that healing is available. So today, you can leave here knowing that true forgiveness can happen. I've given you a couple ways to look at it. And that get with somebody. And you might even do it by yourself, but you really got to follow that little format I gave you because it really opens it up. And sharing it with someone is very healing. And forgive them for that what they've done. Ask God to deal with them. Give them to God. Give them that potato. And for some of us, it may be a big old potato. And then ask God to heal your damaged emotions. Healing begins with forgiveness because forgiveness of Christ is the healing for us. So as you guys get ready to leave here today, I'm sure some people might have popped into your mind, but if there is someone you need to forgive because you've been carrying them around, and you've been acting like in your mind it isn't a big deal when in your life it's a big deal. In your feelings, there's a lot of stuff there. You now have a way to deal with it. Amen? All right, can I pray for you guys? Can we stand up? Lord Jesus, I pray for each person in here, God, that you would heal them from the damage of living in this world. Lord God, then I pray those things that are deep in them, that they've carried for many, many years, you would give them the power and the strength and the willingness to free themselves of living under that destructive emotional bondage. And Lord God, I pray you would heal them, use them in our generation to heal others, and that we could truly be peacemakers. Peacemakers with ourselves and peacemakers with others that are fractured. Make us whole and complete and not lacking in anything so that we may be healthy enough to help other fractured people. Give us, God, that soft heart. Heal us, Lord God. Remove the calluses. Remove the poison. Lord God, give us the willingness to change and become who you want us to be in our generation. Make us alive again. And all those who agree, say amen. Amen. All right, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.